This is part B of the 400 years, 430 years. I know it's a little detailed to get into it, but we'll get there. Now let's continue on here in Exodus 12 so that we fully understand the time sequence. And when we do, then this will help us understand Genesis 15 when we get there. And this becomes very vital. Now remember, the Passover of Exodus 12 was in the middle of the week. So let's begin now. Here, Exodus 12, verse 21. Now notice, the first part of this, God gave all the instructions to Moses. And here tells us how he got all the instructions to all the people. Remember, no cell phones in those days. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, verse 21, and said to them, draw out and take a lamb for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it into blood that is in the bowl and strike the lintel into two side posts with the blood in the bowl. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until sunrise. Now the King James says, morning. So people today, especially the 15 Passover people, say, well, as soon as the firstborn were killed at midnight, it's morning, and they left their homes. You're going to leave your home in the middle of the night? See, because the Hebrew here is bokur, which is sunrise. Now, when is sunrise? 10 minutes after midnight? No. For the Lord shall pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Now, verse 24. And you shall observe this thing as a law to you and your children forever. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord will give you according as he has promised that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children shall say to you, what does this service mean to you? Because this was a domestic Passover, the lamb was killed at the house, the children were there to watch it. Then you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered their houses, and the people bowed their heads and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Which means, they killed the lamb according to the instructions. They stayed in their houses all night. They burned everything that was to be burned, so nothing was to be left over. And they didn't leave their houses until sunrise. All right? Verse 29. And it came to pass at midnight, the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive that was in the prison, and all the firstborn of livestock. And Moses rose up in the, not Moses, correction, Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And during the night, he sent word to Moses and Aaron, saying, rise up, get you from my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as he has said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. But they didn't leave their houses until when? Sunrise. And the Egyptians were urging the people that they might send them out of the land quickly, for they said, we are all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they asked for articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing from the Egyptians. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and they granted their request, and they stripped the Egyptians. Now remember, they were in their houses in the land of Goshen. Now, verse 37 becomes very important. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. How did they get to Ramses? During the day portion of the 14th, as they were continuing to spoil the Egyptians, that's when they got to Ramses. Then it says, the men being about 600,000 on foot, apart from the little ones, so we estimate 1,800,000 people. Also, verse 38, a great multitude went up with them, and flocks and herds, and very much livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not stay, neither had they prepared any food for themselves for the journey, only unleavened bread. Now the sojourning, here's where we get to the 430 years. And this is important to understand when we come to Genesis 15. Verse 40, now the sojourning of the children of Israel in Egypt was 430 years. How does that square with 400 years in Genesis 15? We'll answer that in just a minute. Verse 41, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even on that very same day. The King James says the selfsame day. What does this very same day refer to? Something that took place 430 years before. So we'll see that. All the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed, to Herbert W. Armstrong. That's how some people read it. They say, well, the night much to be observed is something that Herbert W. Armstrong invented. No, it says it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt, because they assembled during the day portion of the 14th to Ramses, and they left beginning at sunset as the 15th day of the month was beginning. So that's why it's a night to be much observed by all the children of Israel in their generations. All right. Now, let's come back to Genesis 15. Because here is where there is an apparent conflict. And when you look at how long the children of Israel were actually in Egypt, it was just really a little over 200 years. So how do we get 430 years, and how do we get 400 years? And what was the age of Isaac when he was offered for a burnt offering and the substitutionary sacrifice of the ram caught in the thicket was provided? All right. Let's come here to Genesis 15. We'll begin to unravel the problem here. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord, what will you give me, since I go childless? And the heir of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you given no seed to me. Lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, word of the Lord came to him, saying, This man shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own loins shall be your heir. His own physical seed. All right? Now, verse 5. And he brought him outside and said, Look now toward the heavens and number the stars if you're able to count them. And he said to him, So shall your seed be. When do you see the stars? At night. All right? So we have a night, don't we? Okay? When did this day begin? At sunset? And now it's night. Verse 6. Now let's carry on so we get the time sequence, and we will see that there is a two-day sequence here. And that becomes important in unraveling this time sequence. Verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, by what means shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said to him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. So this has to be in the morning. Is that correct? You going to go out and do it at midnight? No. Verse 10. And he took all these to himself and divided them in the middle and laid each piece opposite the other, but he did not divide the bird. So what he did, this is a special sacrifice called a maledictory sacrifice, for which there is a maledictory oath. And what is a maledictory oath? A maledictory oath is this. You promise that your word is true and that if you do not perform what you should do, you will become like these animals, cut in two and spread out. Now, between those two parts of each of the animals, there was a path. And so the Lord passed between those parts. Now let's also understand something as we are looking at this sacrifice. Abraham only did the slaughtering. He did not participate in walking between the parts. So this becomes a unilateral covenant from God to Abraham, based upon his word and his promises given up here in verse 15, or verse 4 and 5, rather, where he would have physical seed and then the stars of heaven, as we know, is a type of the spiritual seed who would come through Christ. So it's all wrapped up in these verses here, all together, and unfolds with the rest of the Bible showing us how that these were fulfilled. Now, verse 11. And when the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. God didn't tell him what he was going to do. He said, just divide them. So here is Abram waiting for this to happen. And so here come the birds of prey. So Abram is driving them off. Now notice how long that took. Verse 12. And it came to pass as the sun was going down. Now what happens when the sun goes down? It ends a day, doesn't it? So we have one night, one day, sunset. Right? So we have one day. Notice what happened to him. As the sun was going down, that a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. This was giving him a prophetic significance of death. Now let's look forward to the Passover when Jesus died. What happened? He died at the ninth hour. He was put in the tomb right at sunset. So here, Abram was experiencing the prophetic death of Jesus Christ. Now let's go on here. Verse 13, he said to Abram, "You must surely know that your seed shall be sojourners in a land that is not there." Here's the correct translation. Parentheses. "And shall serve them and afflict them." Parentheses. An inserted statement. So the complete sentence reads, "You must surely know that your seed shall be sojourners in a land not theirs 400 years. How did we get 400 years, and yet Exodus 12 says 430 years? That's the question. Now notice, it doesn't say they shall serve them and afflict them 400 years, because it's a parenthetical statement. They will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs 400 years. All right? Question. How old was Abram when this took place? He was 85 years old. Then we have to ask the question, how long before Isaac was born? Another 15 years, correct? Yes. All right. So that takes care of 15 years of it, does it not? All right. So let's go forward from here. Verse 16, but in the fourth generation, and a generation is not 100 years, they would be wandering in a land not theirs for 400 years, but after being afflicted, they will come out in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now notice verse 17, because something happens here. And it came to pass when the sun went down, ended that day, correct? And it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. What was that? This showed that God passed through. He could, in his vision, he could not see God passing through, but he saw what God was doing with a burning lamp and a smoking furnace. Passed between the parts. Now, what happened to those animals? There's no account that Abraham cleaned up the mess afterwards. So the only thing we can come to the conclusion of based on this is that the smoking furnace burned up those sacrifices completely, and there was only ashes left. Wholly consumed sacrifices, God walking down between those parts, this maledictory oath, prophetic of his coming death on the 14th, and also a covenant that he established with Abraham on the 15th, that his descendants would come out of their captivity on that night. That's why it says in Exodus 12 that it came to pass 430 years on the very same day it came to pass that the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Okay? Here it is right here. Verse 18. In that same day, the 15th. So we have the 15th here in Exodus 12, so it's the same day. It has to be the 15th back here, does it not? And if this is the 15th, what is the day before it when the promises were given? The 14th. So here is really the first Passover and first day of unleavened bread. The Passover does not begin with the children of Israel. It begins with Abraham. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, I have given this land to your seed, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the land of the Kenizzites, the land of the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, and Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Okay, that's the land of Canaan. Now, let's come here to chapter 17. Verse 1. Now, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. And this is where he promised that he would give him a son, as he told him by covenant over here in chapter 15. Let's come over here to verse 17. Chapter 17, verse 17. After he changed his name to Abraham. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear? Well, he already made the mistake with Ishmael, and that mistake still lives with us. And so, verse 18, Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Then he said, okay, I've heard you concerning Ishmael, I will also bless him. All right. So we find in chapter 21 that sure enough, Isaac was born. All right, so that's in his 100th year. He was 99 when he was told it was going to happen. Next year at this time, it's going to happen. And chapter 21, it happened. Genesis 21 and verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Now, we don't know the set time, but question, was Isaac a type of Christ? Yes. The son of promise. When was Jesus born? Paul said, at the appointed time. Galatians 4. The set time. Now, in the article, When Was Jesus Born?, which is an appendices in the Bible, which you might want to read, the closest we can figure to when Jesus was born, the middle day of the 2-week probable birth period, is the Feast of Trumpets. Could it be that Isaac was born on that same day? We don't know, so we can say that's speculation. I don't have my cowbell out, so just consider I rang my cowbell. Okay. Okay. So it happened. Verse 3, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born to him, who Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. All right, so there is 15 years. How do we find the other 15 years? All right, let's come to Genesis 22. Here's how we conclude that Isaac had to have been 15 years old when this event in Genesis 22 took place. He was not a grown man because he's called, as we will see, a lad, which means he was under 20. So let's pick it up here, Genesis 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac. Well, that really wasn't his only son, was it? Because Ishmael had already been born, correct? So this means that the son of promise was counted as the only son, not Ishmael. Your only son whom you love, and go unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you. Now, was this the area which later became where Jerusalem was? Was this mountain upon which Abraham offered Isaac for the sacrifice? Was this on the mountain that was later called the Mount of Olives, right close to where Christ was crucified? We don't know, but the parallels would fit. So we can't say with any dogmatism, but since God uses the same days, and he has used the sequence of the Passover in the middle of the week for Abraham, in the middle of the week for Israel in Egypt, and in the middle of the week when Jesus was crucified, it would seem that the pattern would fit. Now, we can't make it absolutely fit and say with absolute certainty that it was so, but the parallelism follows. Now, verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. So notice the difference. Isaac is his son, two young men, meaning they were probably 20 or older. And he split the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, You stay here with the donkey, and I will take the boy, or the lad, as it is in the King James. I and the boy will go yonder and worship, and will come again to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. So he had a little, if you've been to the Middle East, or I remember from Korea, they used to carry wood on what were called A-frames. They would take two small trees, and they would strip them down and keep the main branch this way, tie it at the top, tie it in the middle, and then they would stack their wood on top of this A-frame. And they had a stick that they would walk with, so when they stopped to rest, then they could hunch down below and stick the stick up there, and it would hold up the A-frame while they stopped to rest or stopped to eat or whatever it may be. So he put the wood on him, which is a type of what? Since Isaac is a type of Christ, what is the wood a type of in relationship to Christ? Carrying the cross beam for his crucifixion, going to his death. Laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire pot in his hands. The King James says, and he took the fire in his hands. Now, you don't carry fire in your hands, but you can carry a fire pot in his hand and a knife, and they both went together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now notice how close this next verse ties in. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And they both went on together. Notice. Almost a very similar parallel to when Jesus said what? If it's possible, Father, let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. So Isaac asked the question, what's going to happen? And he said, well, God will take care of it. the will of God being done. So very similar type there. Verse 9. And they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and he bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the wood and upon the altar. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now what was thrust into the side of Jesus? A spear. Not exactly the same type, but very similar action. So it was right down to the nubbin, see? Stretched out his hand and took the knife. He probably also pulled it out of the scabbard in which he carried it. Now we know in Hebrews the 12th chapter it says that Abraham did this because he knew that God could raise him from the dead if necessary, because he received him in a type from his dead body and Sarah's dead body reproductively, correct? Yes. So that's why he did it. And notice all the way through here, no complaint from Abraham, no complaint from Isaac. Willingly doing the commands of God. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called to him from the heavens and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. I bet he was, yeah, I'm right here. See, now, this is a very good lesson. Do not let the circumstances of any trial in your life get you down. God will provide a way. And let those circumstances, which are difficult to understand, be the thing that God is using to also test you to see what you will do. So that's why. Now, there will be a lot of those things come up in the future as things get worse. Do we really love God? Do we really believe God? Do we really keep His commandments? Will we do it under the threat of death and duress? What are we going to do? All right. Verse 12, and he said, do not lay your hand upon the lad, nor do anything to him. Here it is, the lad. Okay? Nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. Now think about this. Called him at 75 years old, 85, promised him that he would have a son. At 100, the son was born. And now he told him to take him out and offer him for a sacrifice. Now, all during that time was Abraham faithful. So we have from the time he was called to Isaac was born was 25 years. All right? We have to conclude, if we take 430 years from Genesis 15, we have 15 years of the 30 years until the birth of Isaac. All right? We then can conclude that Isaac had to be 15 when this event took place. To get the 430 years. Because remember, the seed would wander in a land not theirs for 400 years. So 15 of the 430 years, waiting for Isaac to be born. 15 was when it came to this time, so Isaac had to be 15 years old at this point, and now begins the count of the 400 years from here of Genesis 15. But the 430 years began from Genesis 15, including the 15 years and the 15 years. All right. Total of how many years then? 40 years. 75 to 100 is 25, and 15 is 40. Right? 40 years is also a time of trial, is it not? A time of testing. So we have the pattern that fits there. All right, verse 12. And he said, "Do not lay your hand upon the lad, nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was entangled in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. Notice what he called the name of the place. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." So that it is said unto this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." Now notice what happened here. Right afterwards. So this begins the 400 years of the sojourning. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed like the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore." Where does that go back to? Genesis 15, right? Plus added, sand of the seashore. So we have in both cases, stars of heaven are the spiritual sons through the resurrection through Christ. Sand of the sea, the physical descendants of Israel. So we have both here. So it confirms both the promises. "And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." That's the key. And how many times have we said, the simplest definition of what God wants us to do is to obey his voice. And we've got it right here in the Bible, printed for us. The Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said. So then Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Okay. So there we have the story. That's how we calculate the 430 years. It fits. Okay. Now, as we discussed, we can't say dogmatically this is circumstantial evidence, but also look at it this way. After this offering of Isaac and the acceptance of God by that obedience of Abraham and also Isaac, Isaac did not rebel. So then he reconfirms the promise at this point by swearing by himself. So now it is signed, sealed, and delivered. So at this point then, the count beginning with Isaac at 15 years old, counting the 400 years that they would be wandering, actually did not start until the 15 and 15 years are calculated in to the 430 years. So this is how you reconcile the 400 years of Genesis 15 with the 430 years of Exodus 12. So I hope that answers the question for you. Took a little while to get there, but you have to get all the facts lined up together, and so this is what we tried to do. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.